we do if God permit. So if we're going to be successful in living for the Lord, we have to have a foundation.
Yes.
There has to be something that we build our life upon.
Right.
The apostle is talking to the Hebrews here and told them these seven different principles of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, we give you honor today, give you thanks for the word of God. Speak to each and every heart this morning. Lay your hand upon us, let the word find its mark in our hearts. In Jesus' name, let it change us. Let it mold us and make us. We give you thanks this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated here this morning. And I want to talk about faith toward God.
All right.
This is more than just a lesson here this morning. This is something that will revolutionize your walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And help you to understand how to come near unto God. When we look at faith, the subject of faith toward God is one of very, very great importance. We've been hearing a lot about faith here, and it's been wonderful, and I hope that I'm not going to cross over some things that have already been said.
Go ahead.
But it's very important because faith is the element that pleases God.
Right.
Amen. It's the element that pleases God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I don't know if I've got that one. All right, would you?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
All right. And so here we have faith. And so the question is this morning, what is faith? Is it some mystical thing that we reach up into the sky and grab a hold of and that? And so we say that we have faith. Is it something that we do? And these are questions that rise to the surface when we ponder this subject of faith, this foundational truth. And I want to look at Scripture here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
For by it the elders obtained.
Obtained a good report.
Amen. And so faith is substance, and faith is evidence.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God. It's substance and it is evidence.
Yes.
And some look at faith as something akin to blindness or ignorance. We just blindly accept, and we don't look into this, but those in Berea, they were more noble than those of Thessalonica in the book of Acts, and they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and readiness of heart, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And so faith is more than just blindly accepting what anybody says. We have to look at the Word of God.
Yes.
And it is the Word of God that does not change.
Right.
Man's ideas change, but God's Word does not change.
Right.
And so faith becomes substance and evidence. And the truth is that faith does have substance, and it does have evidence. It is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith is the things that you're praying for.
Right.
You're not going to pray about it unless you have faith that God is going to move in that situation. And it is evidence because the evidence is the answers to those prayers. Praise the Lord. That's my evidence right there. And so I have faith. Praise God. And Paul writes about it in his famous chapter here, in chapter 11, and gives us several actions which are evident when we have faith. and we want to have faith in God to please God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I want to look at this before the end of the lesson here this morning, but I want to first look at the book of James, James chapter 2, and verse 14 through verse 17 talks about faith.
Praise God. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone.
Well, praise God. That's an eye-opening scripture right
yes.
there. And James introduces the essence of faith, which is really comprised of two different parts. And one part is belief. Everybody said belief.
Believe.
We've got to believe that's a part of faith. And the other is obedience. Everybody said obedience.
Obedience.
So we have to believe, and then we must obey. Praise God. And so the first part of faith is to believe. And James uses Abraham here to illustrate this. James chapter 2, verse 21 through 24.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?
Yes.
Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only.
Well, praise God. There it is again. And so we need to have scriptural faith, and faith that pleases God. The scripture says there that Abraham believed God, and in another place it said that he was the friend of God. And I want to be the friend of God. I want to walk by faith. And so we've got to ask the question, how do we measure faith? And how does God measure faith? It's very important that we look at this. God spoke to Abraham and told him to do something. And in the scriptures here that we have in our Bible, the Lord tells us to do things. He gives us commandments in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the commandment of God was, offer your son as a sacrifice. And the Bible says he believed God. Now, if he was a man of faith, or if he was not a man of faith, rather, he would have just said, I believe God, and it would have stopped right there.
Right.
You have a lot of folks today that are saying, I believe God.
Yeah.
But my question is this morning, have you obeyed God? Have you done what God wants you to do? Offer your son as a sacrifice. He believed God. In another place it says that he believed that God was able to raise him back up from the dead. And so he rose up early in the morning. He didn't sleep in that morning, but he rose up early and went to the place and was so confident in God's leadership of his life that he had the knife up in the air and ready to plunge it into his only begotten son. Amen. And God stopped him and said, now I know that you fear God.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And so it's not just a matter of confession that we believe something. It is a matter of obedience that is mixed with our belief that produces faith. Are y'all with me here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. And so faith is something that is manifested by our action. Amen. Action that is motivated by our belief. Praise God. And without the actions, James says, there is no faith. And so this morning, I urge all of us to take action to the Word of God and to do more than just say, I'm a believer, but let's be a doer of the word. Praise God. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Isaiah was a little frustrated here when he wrote this. I don't know if I've got that scripture written down. All right.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Amen. And so Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? In other words, he threw his hands up and he said, nobody's listening to me. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody is really on the cutting edge of what God wants to do. It's lackadaisical. It is apathetic. There are so many attitudes I'm just frustrated. And he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I want the arm of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, to be revealed to me.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I want God's blessings in my life. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Amen. We want God's blessing in our life. And so we have to have a revelation of the arm of the Lord. Praise God. And so how do we know who has believed the report? Or how do we know that we individually have believed the report of the Lord? And there's a very practical way. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, 15, and 16. Read that for us this morning, Brother Cowan.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Mm-hmm. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Obeyed. Everybody said obeyed.
Obeyed.
They have not obeyed. Now read the rest of that.
For Esaias said, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Who hath believed?
Yes.
And so they did not obey the gospel, so they were not believers. They did not have faith. And I hope you see that there. Obedience and belief have to go together.
Yes.
And it becomes the second part of biblical faith. And so let's go back to Abraham just for a moment here. And look at this. God spoke to Abraham, told him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham believed God. I've already said that. He rose up early in the morning to do the commandment of God, to do the will of God. And he raised the knife in the air, and the Lord said, now I know that you fear me. And God knows, and we know that we have faith when we have enough to obey. And sometimes that obedience is hard. I don't believe that Abraham went up that the side of that mountain without any tears running down his cheeks. I'm sure he was distressed and upset about the thing that he thought was going to happen shortly. But he loved God more than he loved anything else in all of this world. Praise God. And if we're going to have the blessings of God and have the revelation of the power of God in our lives, amen, we've got to put him number one. He's got to be first in our lives. Amen. And in fact, God gives us his commandments to see if we have faith. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
All right, so we see here that God knows what's in our heart. Amen. I've had people tell me, well, it just matters what's in your heart. Nothing else matters, just what you believe in your heart. That's really not scriptural this morning, because the Lord told them to go through the wilderness to see whether or not they would obey. And then he could know what was in their heart. Praise God. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, obey the commandments. He said, I've done that from my youth up. What do I lack? And he said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. I believe he was in the eyes of the Lord as one of the 12, but he didn't make it. Amen. Because Jesus said, come and follow me. That's what he said to all of his disciples. And they came and followed him. But the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. And he didn't want to give up some things to follow God. Amen. Now, if we're going to follow God, we've got to give up some things. Praise the Lord. We come to him with sin in our lives. We've got to give up that sin. We've got to turn away. That's where repentance comes in. It is a turning away of sin. We've got to give up some things in our life to show the Lord that we believe him. Amen. Is there any believers here this morning? Oh, yes. Praise God. And so you say, well, what about this popular teaching today that we're not saved by works? And they use a familiar scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Praise God. And so we're saved by grace. Thank God for grace. Praise the Lord. And that is God's love toward us. But it doesn't stop there. It says we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith.
Yeah.
The grace of God comes through our faith in God, our belief, and our obedience.
Right.
If you're not willing to obey, then the grace of God will not be afforded unto us. Yeah. Amen. Because it is grace through faith. Grace is, it comes to us through our faith, which is believing and obeying. Praise God. And the Lord can't save us unless we have faith. We've got to have faith. I know this is simple, but it's very profound. It is a part of our foundation that we've got to have in our walk with God. Amen. The first step to backsliding is disobedience. I'm not going to do the word of God, but let's do the word of God and have a revelation of his power. Praise God. And so when we look at Abraham, did Abraham come up with the idea of sacrificing his own son? Did he wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to sacrifice my son to God? And it became righteousness to him. You know, when the scripture says, We are not saved by works, lest any man should boast. That's really what it's talking about right there. It's not talking about baptism. I've heard preachers say that baptism is not important, that it is meaningless. I heard one preacher say that it was meaningless, and it has no effect whatsoever. Because it is not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is not a work of man. It is obedience to the commandment of God. It is the expression of faith toward God. Amen. It is our way of showing the Lord that we really trust him when we see that water baptism is essential for salvation. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. And we obey the Lord. Amen. He didn't come up with this idea. It was God's idea.
Yes.
We didn't come up with the idea of baptism. That was God's idea.
Amen.
We didn't come up with the idea of receiving the Holy Ghost. That was God's idea. Amen. We didn't come up with be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. We didn't come up with that. God came up with that. And so it's not our responsibility to come up with things to impress God, because we can't impress God with anything that we do. He can do it better than we can do it. His ways are way higher than our ways. Amen. But what we must do is have obedience. Amen. And obedience is not like works in that it is the actions of a person that believes God. Amen. Do you believe God this morning? If you believe God, then this book is very important to you. Amen. The words that are in here are very important to you. The commandments are very important. Praise the Lord. But we're living in a generation that says we don't have to worry about commandments anymore. It's just about love, and that's all there is. It's what's in your heart. But if you look at Scripture, the Scripture says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no man knows his heart. Well, praise the Lord. Nobody knows their heart. I don't know my heart. You don't know your heart. But there's one that can get down deep into the well of your heart, and he knows how to express, or to look rather, into what is in the well of your heart, and that's by giving us commandments. And then he sits back and watches to see if we obey them. That's in the Word of God. I'm right in the book here this morning. And we are not saved by works. I believe that. We're not saved by doing things that we make up. And when we do them, then we say we're right with God. Because by doing that, we're making up our own commandments. We're making up our own ideas. Amen. And that's not going to work. Praise God. And so when we talk about works, Paul writes about them a lot in the Scriptures, in the New Testament epistles. He writes about works. But if you'll notice, he talks about the works of the law. The works of the law. That's offering a lamb. That's offering a bull. That's offering a pigeon or a turtle dove. Or a lamb or a ram and all of that. That's been done away with. Thank God for that.
Yes.
But there are two measures of the law, two aspects of the law. One is the law, the works of the law, and then there are the works of morality. Praise God. You have the law, and then you have the moral laws, the ceremonial laws, and the moral laws of God. Maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but let's do that. Let's see if I can. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Let's read that.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have already told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Well, praise the Lord. I guess the moral laws are still applicable for us today.
Amen.
And you look at the Ten Commandments, you find the moral laws of God. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, so on and so forth. The moral laws of God still apply today. Amen. If we don't obey the moral laws of God, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
That's what it says.
You cannot be saved and indulge in these things.
Right.
And then he adds a little bit to it, and he said, and such like.
Yeah. And such like.
Yeah.
Such like. That'll apply for us today. We come up with all kinds of sins.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And it does seem like the moral laws are applicable to us. Amen. And so let's look at this believer for a moment here and this obedience. James chapter 2 and verse 19, you may be surprised to see who are believers in the Scripture. Let's read that one.
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. the devils also believe and tremble.
Well, praise God. Did you know the devil's a believer? But that's as far as he goes, is belief. He knows there's only one God. He's been in the presence of God. He is a believer, but that's as far as he goes. Could it be that if all we are believers and not doers of the word, that we could fall under the influence of satanic influence? I'll say it twice there. Praise God. But the devils believe and they tremble. Amen. And what's the difference in the devil and us? He believes, but in him was found iniquity, which is really rebellion and living outside of obedience. Now, if we look at the first king of Israel, and I'm going to finish here in just a moment, so hang with me. And I've got a scripture that I want Brother Cowan to read, and it's a little bit lengthy, but I want you to pay attention and listen real closely to this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 23, 10 verses. Can you all handle that this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own eyes, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?
Did not obey.
But didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief things that which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?
Now listen to this.
As in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Yes.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Praise God.
And to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Well, praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I feel the Lord here this morning. Amen. There is something about obedience that God looks for in our lives. And if it's not obedience through belief or through faith, amen, then it becomes rebellion. And isn't it interesting that in the last days of Saul's life, God would not speak to him. He could not get an answer from the Lord. And he ended up in the witch's house and trying to conjure up Samuel, the prophet that had passed away, to get an answer. Amen. And shortly afterwards, he died and was not saved. You see, it's so very, very important that we obey God, that we obey the word of God. Amen. So very, very important. And obey it by faith, praise God, or through faith. Mark 16 and 16.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Amen. So if you don't believe, you're not going to obey. But he said, he that believeth and is baptized. Baptism is so very, very important. Amen. What about righteousness and true holiness? Amen. Praise God. I'm not doing this to be right with God. I'm doing it to obey the commandments of the Lord. Because holiness is a part of the commandments that God has given us in the New Testament. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. It does matter to God how we live. It does matter to God how we present ourselves to this world. Amen. He wants us to be a peculiar people unto Him. And the word peculiar simply means a one-of-a-kind. Amen. A one-of-a-kind treasure. That's what the Lord is looking for in this world. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39.
Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Somebody said, do. Amen. There's some things that we need to do. And if it was just accept the Lord as your personal Savior, He would have said that.
Right.
But Peter answered. Go ahead and read
those
scriptures.
Then Peter said unto them, repent.
Repent.
And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Well, praise God.
Praise God.
Folks, we can't be saved without faith.
Amen.
And faith is made perfect through obedience. Amen. Peter said, repent. That means to turn your life around, to go in an opposite direction. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so if we believe that Jesus is the one that remits our sins and He wants us to be baptized in His name, not in titles of His name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the man or the woman that has faith in God says, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?
Amen.
I'm not going to put this off. The Word of God says it. And I need to obey it. And God's face will smile upon your life when you have that kind of a relationship with Him.
Yes.
Praise God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Everybody said give.
Give.
Give. You know what we're to give? We're to give our time, our treasures, and our talents.
All right.
Our time, our treasures, and our talents unto God. God gave you everything that you've got. You say, no, I got my own job. No, God allowed you to be born in a country where there are jobs. Praise the Lord. Well, I made my kingdom because of my talents. God gave you your talents. Well, praise God. Everything, Scripture says, is there anything that you have that was not given unto you? Amen. Everything we have has been given to us. No, I bought it myself. No, if you take it all the way back to the very foundation of it, your schooling was free. You can think and figure things out. Because of free schooling that you received, hopefully, praise God. Well, hallelujah. And so what we need to do is we need to give. Amen. If we give, it will be given back to us. And so the man or the woman of faith says, I'm going to give. When I gave my life to the Lord when I was 19, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Scriptures. I didn't really understand a whole lot, but I remember that scripture right there, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, so on and so forth. And they had a special offering, and they were asking for folks to give for a missionary. And I said, you know what, the scripture says this, but I've never experienced it for myself. I'm going to give this a try. And so I pledged $50. I no more had $50 than a man in the moon. I barely had two nickels to rub together. I was poor as Job's turkey, as they say. And so I put up my hand. I said, I'll give $50. I had no idea where that money was going to come from. But the very next day, now folks, you got to remember, this is 1974. And $50 was a lot of money back then. In fact, that's what I paid for rent on my apartment, was $50 a month. And that included utilities. Praise God. It was still a good deal back then. But this was in 1974. So I went to work the next day. I worked in a fabrication shop. And we built handrails and fences and all kinds of different things. And the boss comes up and he plops himself on my table. He said, hey, Greg, how would you like to make some extra money? And my ears perked up. This was the very next day. And I said, sure, what you got going on? And he said, somebody wants a little fence around a cemetery plot. And we want to know how much you will charge us to build that for them. And you can do it after hours. You work your regular day, and then after hours you can do this. And I guess maybe I was a little bit greedy. I said, how about $150? And he kind of winced a little bit. And he said, well, I'm not sure that they'll accept that. And so he went into the office. He came back. He said, they'll do it for $100. So I worked after hours for 10 hours. I built the fence, and it was installed, and I paid my $50 and had $50 left over. Amen. And that's just a little incident. Many of you here this morning, probably everybody here this morning, can testify of God's goodness in your life. Jesus said, give. Give. If you're a man or a woman of faith, you're going to give because it's a commandment of the Lord. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 and 8.
Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
Well, praise the Lord. That requires faith. Sure. Belief. Amen. And if you read on down, could you read? Are you there? No. That's all right. I think I can quote that. He said something about rebuking the devourer for your sake. If you pay your tithes and give your offering, he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Amen. God will bless you. Amen. Through faith.
Yes.
Belief and obedience. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Gets a little bit tight when you start talking about money. But you know what? God gave me every dime that I've got. Every penny that I've ever had, God gave it to me. You say, no, you worked for it. Well, we'll go back over that again. But what we have, God has given to us. And I want to give back. Praise God. Because when I was out in the world and living, doing drugs and alcohol and all of those things, I paid a whole lot more than 10% of my income. Right, to the devil. I paid more than that. So it was actually cheaper to live for God. And then you get to go to heaven too. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to finish with this. Living a life of faith means being open to God, being open to his word, and a willingness to be what he wants you to be. Abraham, and we've talked about him this morning, was probably around 120 years old when God told him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He did it all the way because he believed God. He was a man of faith. And he had been serving God for nearly 50 years. Amen. Was still sensitive to the will of God. Faith is much, much more than just a confession. There's more to it, folks, than just accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. In fact, those words right there, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior, those words are not even found in the Bible. That's man's concoction. But when they said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent." That's death. Be baptized in Jesus' name. That's burial. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the resurrection. And that's what the gospel is. If I were to ask us here this morning, who knows what the gospel is? Can you tell me what the gospel is? Or if you left here this morning and found anybody on the street and asked them, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? They'll tell you it's good news. Well, praise the Lord. Well, if you found $50 laying on the ground, you would say, that's the gospel. Good news. $50. But Paul, we got to go back to the Word of God. Paul said the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Death, burial, resurrection. And if we are to be saved, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, that we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 6, he said we are buried with him in baptism. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 6, it says that we are crucified with him. We are crucified with him in baptism, or in repentance, I'm sorry. We are buried with him in baptism, and we rise out of the baptismal tank to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and live a brand new born-again life. Can we stand together this morning? Faith toward God. I don't have faith toward anybody. I don't have faith toward anything. But what we need to have as a foundation of our walk with God is a faith toward God. I believe God.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we lean on you this morning. In Jesus' name, let the Word of God get deep into our hearts.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Help us to be hearers of the Word of God. Help us to be doers of the Word of God. Let the Word be revelatory this morning. Let it be revealed to each and every one of us. I give you thanks for the Word of God this morning. I give you praise for the Word of God this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody feel what I feel here this morning? Praise God. There are young men at the altar this morning. Thank God for that. Do you need something from the Lord? Why don't you just come and we'll pray together with you and believe God for a miracle this morning. Praise God. It just takes faith. I believe. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do the Word of God and the will of God in my life. Praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I feel God in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name. We praise your name this morning. We give you thanks this morning. In the name of Jesus. Jesus.